Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we together get into your word. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for continuing the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's talk about the five foolish virgins of Jesus' parable in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. There were five foolish and five wise virgins. And who were the foolish virgins? The foolish virgins did not make it into the eternal bridal chamber with the bridegroom because
they didn't choose to love him. Just like the woman who gets engaged to a man and then she grows lukewarm toward him. He's no longer her first love. Guess what? He's not going to marry her. You're telling me the Son of God, the holy, precious Son of God from heaven, is going to marry somebody he saved and yet doesn't love him, isn't choosing to walk the way he commanded them to walk? Go ahead and explain that to me, will you? Will you? Now, somebody might be saying, this is legalistic. This is works-based. No, you would only be saying that because you're trying to use Jesus to get out of hell. You want the crown, but you don't want the cross. So you're a counterfeit is what you are. No different than some woman that gets engaged to a guy and is flirting around and doing other stuff romantically with other men or another man. And then she's going to get mad at the guy who breaks the engagement. What kind of a fool would that be, right? See, many, he said, are going to say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord. You know, just like the girl who whores around and the guy breaks the engagement. Wait a minute, we were engaged. Oh, really? Yeah, we were engaged, but you were committing adultery, fornication with other men. And that's what many are doing right now, whom Jesus has saved. They're committing spiritual adultery. They don't love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're trying to get that next, you know, better car because theirs is 2 or 3 years old. I mean, their house is only 2,000 square feet. They can't live without one that's 4,000, right? They're lusting after the things of this world. Materialism, they're leaving consumeristic lifestyle. They don't care about Jesus. They got time and energy and wherewithal to do everything else in this life except get up and seek his face and live in his presence. Amen. That takes an act of your will. Somebody listening to me, God's calling you to repent. And it's only then that you're going to be refreshed and that you're going to have his peace in your heart. Because the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, thy word, and nothing shall offend them. Why? They live out his word. They walk it out because they love him. No different than a man at war who receives the letters from his beloved wife and pours over every word sitting in that foxhole, his life being on the line, reading every word of her letters that she sends every week or every day, pouring over every one of those words and embracing them with all his heart. Why? Because he loves his baby girl that's at home waiting for him to come back. If you love Jesus, you love every word. You pour over his words because you're in love with him. It all boils down to love. If you're trying to look for an excuse to not live in a crucified life with Christ, it's because you just simply don't love him. You're trying to find theology that gives you a way around dying because you're full of yourself. You're a fraud. You're a goat. You despise the Lord. You're a rebellious person, a lawless antinomian person. You want the crown. You don't want the cross. But Jesus said you will not get the crown unless you take up the cross. You die the death and say it's over for me. What has that ever led to? What are these trinkets in this world ever done for you inside? Nothing. They left you miserable. This isn't a real hard decision, is it? Listen, I was talking today on the phone with a dear brother, and we were talking about the Bible says, forget not all his benefits. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Why would you ever want to go back to the world? The world leaves your mouth full of gravel, as we read in Proverbs. What does that mean? Total remorse in there. It's never fulfilling. It leaves you totally unfulfilled. So what are you waiting on? Why not return to the Lord today? Get before God in prayer, lay down your life and surrender to Jesus and ask him to fill you with the Holy Ghost and use you to anoint you to be crucified with him. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And nevertheless, I live yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He also said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Galatians 2:20 and 6:14. Revelation 19, beginning of verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, that's Christ, for the marriage of the Lamb, that's Christ, is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Let me ask you something. Are you making yourself ready? I want you to look, search on safeguardyoursoul.com. Go to the search box and put in just partially this sentence. His wife hath made herself ready. You can put the whole thing in there, or you can just put in his wife. Who is Jesus's wife? Well, I'm saved. Well, by biblical definition, if you're his wife and you're ready to meet him instead of being rejected by him, you're making yourself ready on his terms. When you love somebody, what are you doing? You're finding out what they love. She likes chocolates. Oh, hallelujah. She likes flowers. Depending on the woman, you're figuring out what she likes so you could delight her. Amen. See, that's what people that know Jesus are really doing. They're crying out to Jesus for a heart of flesh, and they're seeking his face. They're reading what he likes, and they're doing it. He gave you a Bible. There's no excuse. Amen. He gave you his beautiful word and gave us the counsel of his heart in his word and through his words. Psalm 33:11. He made known the counsel of his heart to us through his word. He made his heart known to us through his counsel, the counsel of his word. Verse 8, Revelation 19. And to her, who's her? Those that are making themselves ready to meet the bridegroom. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's what all this imagery in scripture, as we talked about a little bit before, represents. Let's read it again. For the fine linen of that robe of righteousness is the right, represents what? The righteousness of the saints. And what did he say at the end of Ephesians 5? The church he's coming back for is holy and without blemish, having no spot or stain of sin. Wait a minute. You mean I can live sinless? You better confess every sin. Since when? Somebody asked me this week, since when did you stop sinning? I said, let me ask you a question against that question. When did you stop confessing your sins? That's the bigger question. The Bible says, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses, and forsakes them shall have mercy. Wait a minute. Who's going to receive mercy from God through the blood of Christ? At the throne of grace of Hebrews 4, those that confess and forsake their sins. Otherwise, that sin's on your account. How many sins did it take Adam and Eve to be separated from God? Go read Genesis 3 and find out. Verse 9, Revelation 19. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So his wife makes herself ready. If you're not making yourself ready, living in fervent expectancy of the return of Jesus, loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're not going to be with him. And so we're reading about the saving grace of Christ. And we see that it teaches us in Titus 2 to live godly in this world, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for, verse 13, Titus 2, what are we looking for? That blessed hope. What is that? And the glorious appearing. Jesus is coming, ready or not. Amen. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Watch this. Who gave himself for us. Why did he give himself for us? Here it is. That he might do what? Redeem us from all iniquity. Came us to redeem us from all iniquity. From all iniquity. Jesus died to redeem you from all sin. All of it. And purify unto himself a peculiar or a special people, zealous of good works. That's the bride that Jesus is coming back for. Now, do you see why he said his flock is a little flock in Luke 12:32? Look around you at all those who claim to know Jesus, and then compare it to what the Bible says and defines as a person who is ready to meet Christ instead of being ready to be rejected by him. She's purifying herself. She's been given the robes of righteousness by Christ with no spot on them. And she keeps, as a wise virgin, she keeps everything away that would disturb her meeting her bridegroom. Isn't that the picture, again, of a young lady, or whatever age she is, that's engaged to marry a man? She is not allowing anything in her life that would deter or that would hinder or cancel out the marriage to this bridegroom, this man that she wants to marry. She doesn't even look left or right. Proverbs 4. She doesn't look left or right. She removes her foot from evil. She abstains from the appearance of evil. All of it. Why? Because she loves that man and she wants to marry him. That's the picture scripture gives us of the true bride of Christ.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.